The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Handle business. All Alabama had to do was handle business.
Yep. Indiana is in 66-0 over Purdue.
They'd have been in.
South Carolina beat Clemson on the road. Crazy ending. Clemson's driving with under a minute left, and then Klubnik just throws a terrible pick. They're in field goal range. He throws a terrible pick. South Carolina wins the game against a top 12 Clemson team, 17-14. South Carolina's going to be interesting. There are some people pining for them, but here's the truth. They have no chance of getting in. Not a prayer. No chance. And the reason why is because Alabama has the head-to-head over them, and Ole Miss has the head-to-head over them.
I still don't understand how they lost at Oklahoma. I don't. Alabama should be all up in the talk. But anyway.
I think those are the big ones. Those are the big Iowa State beats Kansas State 29-21. Bama beats Auburn, which to me means that Bama is in the playoff. Miami comes out. I think Bama goes in.
Are they?
I think so. I think Bama's going to get in because Clemson also comes out. Clemson comes out. Now, maybe they could get back in if they beat SMU, but I think if SMU beats Clemson, Bama's in.
Interesting.
Because did Bama and Ole Miss play this year?
No,
they did not. Okay, so I don't think there's a real good case there. Alabama's ahead of Ole Miss. I think Bama goes.
Interesting.
I don't. There's just no way if Bama is in front of Ole Miss right now, you can't justify a jump. Even though Ole Miss's resume might be slightly better in terms of wins, you're ranked ahead of them right now by one. And so I think Bama finds a way in. And we do get a three-loss SEC team in there. I mean, I can't – if Clemson beats if Clemson beats SMU, what does that do for SMU? Is SMU in? Are they out?
I would go – it's going to be hard to keep SMU out.
Even if they lose to SMU or to Clemson?
Where are they now?
I think they're ninth.
Yeah.
It's close, dude.
Nah, they'll probably justify and say no to ACC teams.
So
just,
you think
take the winner.
I think the ACC is a one-bid league.
With them at nine. But I don't know why I thought they were a little higher.
Yeah. And it's not like SMU's resume is great either. They just only have one loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we're saying that Miami at two losses is out, why would we not do the same for SMU? Right? So Clemson would Clemson go as one of the five highest ranked? They would, right? Mm-hmm. They would go as the conference champion, so they got a chance here. So I think if that's the way it breaks, I think Bama's probably in either way. I mean, if SMU wins, I think Bama's in. Just by virtue of where they are and they got fortunate because I think Miami comes out. Because if we're just saying, all right, who's better? Who's the better team, Miami or Bama? And like, it's not even close. It's not even close who we think the better team is. I mean, Miami stinks. Their resume stinks.
They got a slide.
I can't say that. Obviously Clemson's already going to be behind Bama with their loss to South Carolina this weekend. And we've already established Bama beat South Carolina. They got the head to head. I mean, who's going in? Who's going in over Bama? So I think Bama backs into this thing, even though it didn't look like it was possible. Could be wrong, but I think that's the way it's going to go. Oh, UNLV and Boise is basically for the Group of Five spot.
Yeah,
on Friday night.
It absolutely is.
That's a fun one. That's a fun little playoff game before the playoffs start. You know, in the Group of Five, yeah, Boise minus four in that one. I think they're hosting it. So
they'll take care of business.
Interesting that Boise was minus four in Vegas, and they're going back home in 30-degree weather, and they're still a minus four favorite. They won, they covered in Vegas. Now they go back home where they'll be better with a home field advantage, and they're still minus four. So I must be missing something there. You know, I've loved this UNLV at times over the course of the year. Not sure I can get there with them though at plus four on the road. Even though I'm a big fan of Barry. What am I missing on this playoff discussion? Am I wrong on Bama? Am I missing something?
Not
obvious?
Sure on Bama. I guess that now, particularly with Miami's giving them an opportunity.
I think Miami's out
because they needed somebody to drop out.
Yes,
I had not considered them coming back. Remember, you all were talking me off Alabama, three loss Alabama team making the playoff just last week.
Yep,
when I was saying, I think they might hold on. I think I'd just kind of come to the conclusion it wasn't going to happen. But but because of what's transpired. And the fact that, what were they, 13 last
They're
week?
13, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have one that we think is going to drop out of Miami.
I mean,
that's the opportunity, right?
Unless, I know they're 10-2, but who have they actually beaten? Nobody. They beat nobody this year.
That's what I'm saying. They'd have been sitting in the catbird seat if they just beaten Oklahoma, a bad Oklahoma team.
Correct.
They're not, and I guess now.
Yes.
Yes, there's still an opportunity. I hadn't considered it, but they do. They have an opportunity.
And there's nobody like, you know, like Boise, if they lose, is not getting in as an at-large, obviously. Like, they're going to be penalized, obviously, by more than one spot for losing to UNLV at home. So, yeah, man, I just don't see any way you keep Alabama out. I'm not sure you should. I mean, I do think they're probably one of the best 12 teams in college football. Like, don't you think Bama's even better than Indiana?
Yes.
I mean,
Bama does, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best wins in college football, and that went over Georgia.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did lose to Vandy.
They lost to Oklahoma.
But just about every good team in the SEC's got a bad loss.
That Georgia win, it is a great win.
Milroe was fantastic. They dominated that game.
But it did get dicey at the end.
Well, yeah.
But still,
offensively, Milroe dominated. It got dicey.
Yeah, so I think you know, if we're doing this the right way, Miami has to slide to 13 or 14 or maybe even, you know. But I guess that's the interesting piece, is like, how much do you penalize Miami for a road loss? You know, you're 10-2. Do you really put a 10-2 team in a power league behind? I mean, because to me, it's like Alabama goes in. Well, you're not, you know, Ole Miss, South Carolina. Are you putting Miami in front of them? I mean, like,
how far is the drop?
Yeah, like, is it a 10-spot drop for one loss? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I do think it should be punitive, though, just because what hurts Miami is that they're sputtering here at the end of the season. They lost to, what, Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago. Now they lose to Syracuse. And, again, your best win this season is what? Like, can anybody tell me that? I mean, you beat, I guess, at Louisville. I mean, what's that supposed to mean to me? At Florida to start the year, but that was when Florida was a disaster. Florida didn't start playing good football until they put Lagway in. That was not Lagway's team at that point. So I have to kind of take into consideration.
There's not much there in terms of meat and what they've done.
I'm going to be honest with you. Miami's resume ain't much better than Memphis's. I mean, if we're going to go 10-2 teams, it's similar. I mean, yes, they went at Louisville, but Louisville's not ranked in the top 25. So, I got Miami out, man. I got Miami out. I don't think they're a top 12 team.
Yeah, that loss is going to hurt them.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would have Alabama ahead of Miami.
Yeah.
Even with the loss at Oklahoma.
And then, of course, you know, you got to decide the Big 12 champion here, Arizona State. I mean, the fact that Kenny Dillingham can get his team in his second year to the playoff is the best job anybody's done in college football. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I think he's just representative of their young guys out there, man, that are,
yep,
you know, the next ones.
Yep.
And you don't have to be scared in terms of, you know, oh, well, what if we don't find someone as good? Or,
right.
You know, well, they're out there to be found.
Well,
you just need to do a good job, and
yes,
your search firm needs to do. You need to know what you want.
Exactly. And Kenny Dillingham was in the Memphis program.
Here.
He's not like a head coach. He wasn't a head coach.
But he had gone with Mike.
Mike.
Right.
Yes. And then he was at Florida, and then he was at Auburn, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we discussed this.
But yeah, I think that was, to me, the upshot of this weekend is that Miami's out, Alabama back in, and I guess we'll learn tomorrow, right? We'll learn tomorrow exactly. Big win, too.
Yeah, congrats to the Vols.
Texas, on the road at Texas A&M. That was a huge win for Steve Sarkisian. Quinn Ewers, he stinks.
Mm-hmm.
He stinks.
Well, the Dr. Pepper commercial says he doesn't need a backup, but he does.
Dude, put Arch in.
I know. That dude is such a stud athlete. It's like time. Every time he touches the ball, he does something magical.
It's time. I mean, I can't watch Quinn Ewers commit another red zone turnover. They could have lost that game.
It felt like they had control and just couldn't pull away.
Well, because they had two red zone turnovers in the block punt. You know, and then you're like, okay, well, now I can't even trust Quinn Ewers to do anything at all, basically.
That's a good job by Elko, though. I mean, they were in I'm not specifically that game. I'm saying what he's done at Texas A&M.
Yeah, on the
pretty impressive.
He turned, went to the backup and Marcel Reed, or maybe that's even the third string quarterback. I don't know. But yeah, they actually ended up having a good year when it looked kind of
shaky. They got screwed on what should have been a targeting call in that game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I was watching when that happened.
Yeah, they
Elko was mad.
Yeah, they
had
determined
right
it was no target.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They called
that
it.
That receiver was defenseless. Still.
Well, I
saw that play.
It was a senior DB. I don't think you can throw the man out. I mean, that's the problem, is that you throw the guy out. No. I think they should. I think if they change that rule, right, where you don't necessarily have to be thrown out, like you'd see more calls stand. But there's just a lot more that goes into it than, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember if that was his first half or second half. So it might also cost the guy the first half of the next game. So you got to, like, take all that. Like, was this hit that egregious? Like what the dude did to Trevor Lawrence yesterday. Oh, my God.
Man.
That was like attempted murder, what that dude did to Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor went into the defensive
what they call it? Fencing or something?
Fencing response, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
I've only seen it really with two of them.
Yeah.
Just on a regular basis.
And yeah.
Now that you saw it with Trevor, you knew what it was.
Yeah.
Because of our familiarity with Tua's situation.
Absolutely, man.
And that was dirty. And they tried to dirt. He got dirt dogged.
Well, he should have. I'd have been disappointed if he didn't. I mean, they gonna let that dude lay out your quarterback?
That gets pretty
like that?
Dangerous. You at the bottom of that big pile like that.
Oh yeah, no,
you know,
no
you got
question.
About 5-6 dudes on top of you.
He had a whole. He had a statement today.
Did he apologize?
Aziz Alshire is the guy's name. I believe he used to be a Titan. He did have a statement where he said, "I've always played the game as hard as I could, never with the intent to harm anyone, and anybody that knows me knows that. My goal is to hit you as hard as I can, then I pray you're still able to get up and play the next play. And when the game is over, go home to your family unharmed because it's not personal. We are just, it's just competition. We both are trying to do the same thing, which is provide for our families. I didn't see him sliding until it was too late. And it all happens in the blink of an eye. To Trevor, I genuinely apologize to you for what happened, what ended up happening. Before the game, we spoke, and I told you how great it was to see you back on the field and wished you well. I would never want to see any player hurt because of a hit I put on them, especially one that's deemed late or unnecessary. To the rest of his teammates, I can definitely understand you having his back and defending him in a situation like that." And then he goes on to kind of say that he's been called every name in the book, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I mean, it is a bang-bang play.
But that was dude, you know the dude was going to slide, bro.
I'm just saying, he's already down.
This guy has a reputation, too,
uh-huh.
for hitting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's the other part that kind of comes into it. This ain't, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year we're talking about. He's been kind of labeled as a headhunter before. Anyway, good stuff there this weekend in college football. We'll come back to Respect Burgers, and Jeff Calk is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 ESPN.
All right, every day, every Monday around this time, it seems like John's giving me shorter and shorter time to do it. I'm just kidding. It's not on John. We got to do a better job of scheduling.
Yes.
But the Respect Burgers are going to be they're going to be quick, and they're going to be efficient. Much like the Memphis Grizzlies have been, yes, this season, fast and efficient. On Mondays, I pull out my big green egg. I pat out some burgers like I used to do at the Memphis Country Club, but I season these a little differently. I season them with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers. Now, John, I'm going to tell you, one of these you ain't going to see coming because you think I'm a hater of this man.
Yeah.
Okay? That will not be the first one. The first Respect Burger goes to Auburn and Bruce Pearl. They are grown men, the men that he coaches there. And we see now why the plane had to be turned around when they were headed to Houston.
Yeah.
And these grown men got on a fight. Pilot said, I got to get on the ground with these grown men in the plane. And boy, was it on display. Now, they got that settled, ended up beating Houston. And boy, did we see this team up close and personal in the final of that Maui Invitational. They beat Memphis 90-76, handled them. They did have to come back from down double digits against Iowa State, but John's talked about it, I've talked about it. In terms of resume, they should be the number one team in all of the land, and they are at KenPom. They've now knocked off Houston, Iowa State, North Carolina, and Memphis. And what I love is that they still got Duke, a good Ohio State team. They're 18 at KenPom. Ohio State's back in a way. And also Purdue, another, what, top 15 team over at KenPom. They've got all those teams, Duke, Ohio State, and Purdue, still to play before SEC play. So I absolutely love the schedule that Bruce Pearl has put together for this Auburn team to get them tested and ready for SEC play. And then it's not just Bruce Pearl. How could you not respect what Jani Broome did the entire tournament? He wins MVP honors of the Maui Invitational after the win over Memphis, in which he had 21-16. He had double-doubles in all three games. And, oh, by the way, he tipped in the game winner against Iowa State back in the first round. And so whether it was Jani Broome, who I don't think can be stopped on the college level, I suppose at some point NCAA tournament, Final Four, maybe we'll see a team capable of it. But so far, no one's been able to. And again, a credit to Bruce Pearl, Jani Broome, keeping them there. A credit to development. You know, guys that stay. You know, you'd like to see a P.J. Haggerty, more of those in the Memphis fold, because I think it leads to continuity.
Yep.
And there, you know, there's still development happening in college basketball, because go back and look at that Memphis win over Auburn 2 years ago over in Atlanta. Jani Broome wasn't nearly the player that he is now. So, again, you got to give credit where it's due. Auburn right now looks like the best team in the country to me, one certainly capable of a Final Four run. In fact, I think it'd be disappointing if I'm Bruce Pearl and I'm not in the Final Four or Elite Eight. I'm absolutely disappointed this year. Here's the one you're not going to see, and maybe not for the reason you think. I have got to give a respect burger to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Last night, he's just having fun in the snow in a 35-10 route over the win over the 49ers. I don't know if you saw in that game, he throws a pass to Amari Cooper, then catches the lateral back for them from Amari Cooper, which was totally just in the moment, according to these players, not by design. Amari saw Josh running towards him and said, I better give him the ball. I know who this dude is. He does, and Josh goes and hits the pylon with the ball, slides in the snow, and it's just another what felt like MVP-level moment for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Again, his numbers in terms of passing yards and everything else aren't going to blow you in the water. In fact, I think he's about mid-range in terms of the NFL. I don't think he's not top five, not even top 10. But he has continued 20 passing TDs. And here's the thing. Just 5 interceptions this season and only 2 fumbles lost. And if you have listened to me on this show as I've tried to dethrone the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen for years now following the departure of Brian Daboll as OC over to the Giants, I've been trying to say the Bills are going to take a step back for last 3-4 years, really trying to crown the Dolphins as the next one. All they've done now is subtract pieces. Stephon Diggs they decide to go away from, and Josh Allen has gotten better while they've done that. Last year, he had 18 interceptions and 4 fumbles. I'll go back to this year, 5 interceptions and 2. That's 22 turnovers last year to just 7. He's cut down on the recklessness. Like, I can't even hold that against him anymore. He is a polished quarterback who makes, I mean, just think about the plays he's made over the last couple of weeks, the win over KC, taking them off of the undefeated perch. He's been phenomenal. I know he's got the loss to Lamar, but, man, and I know he's got a running game now with Cook, who yep. was outstanding yesterday. Looked like, frankly, he was going a different speed than everybody else, sort of like Collinsworth said. But Josh Allen's been fantastic. He's lowered the turnovers by far, and he's at such a high level now for the, again, AFC East champion Bills, who, oh, by the way, their defense has come around, too, playing pretty well. So shout-out to Josh Allen. You really could give it to McDermott as well, who we had written off at one time as a coach who might have lost control. Clearly, they are still in control of the AFC East. Moving on, bringing it back local here, a respect burger to the great Dave Woloshin, Tigers basketball and play-by-play guy. Jason Munns, don't know if y'all got a chance to see it, especially you daily Memphian folks. Jason Munns over the Commercial Appeal, Tigers basketball beat writer, wrote a piece about Woloshin being in his 50th year of professional broadcasting, 40 on the Tigers side here in Memphis, 10 before that. And again, pros pro, just a shout-out to a guy who you just expect to see him. He's been a fixture at Tigers games for decades now, and I hope it doesn't end anytime soon. Was listening to Dave this past week when he was over in Maui. Sounded great as ever. Still does. Heard him a little bit on his show this morning as well, which he continues to do over at 56. Shout out to him on 50 this year for him with the Tigers. And then a shout out, y'all, you know I got a soft spot for the Preps.
Yes.
John holds it against me wrongly, yes. Wrongly and unfairly. But I worked my way up through the Preps to the
yes,
Tigers.
You did.
And so they'll always hold a special place in my heart. I just like saying old names like Abe Felix and Joe Doss from Melrose. A shout out in that spirit to the three teams, Houston, Melrose, and Mace, coached by the great Cedric Miller, and former Tiger Cedric Miller, all headed to state. Houston in Class 6A, Andre Allen was all over that one in that game. Andre Allen's son, yeah, beat Ravenwood 24-21. They've been previously undefeated. Melrose, the Twins, Gerald and Jarrett Morrow coaching them. They're headed as well to the final after beating Pearl Cone out of Nashville 14-7. And then Mace, for those that ain't been around a long time, that's Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering. Coach Cedric Miller got them, helped guide them to a 34-12 win over McKenzie. So always a shout-out
yes, sir.
To the Memphis high school football teams that are headed to the state final. Those three are. Listen, we should all be pulling for each and every one of them. And Class 6A, 4A, and then what's that, 2A
yes.
As well for Mace, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me, that's 1A for Mace. You know, the divisions have changed.
Yes.
Since my days in the Preps ended. Those are your respect burgers for the week.
Yeah, real quick, disrespect, Glizzy, to anybody that had a problem with the flag planting. That includes Ryan Day. If you have a problem with the flag planting, I have a very simple solution
Come
for
on,
you.
Man.
Win the game, man.
You can't do that. That's
win the game. Stop them. Stop them on the field. Don't be trying to.
If you were invited
grape,
like you used to be to spades parties all over town, you're in someone else's home. If you'd run a Boston or what, however you're
I'm
playing to 500.
I'm planting a flag.
Would you be fool enough after
oh, yeah.
you won the game
Bust
in their
that
home
Bust
to
that
take
ass.
A John Martin flag and plant it in the middle of their home?
Facts.
Because if you did it, you'd know what would
Matt.
Happen. You'd be opening yourself up to a
yeah,
you know what.
I'm not saying that.
So it's the same
that's
thing.
That's fine.
Bro.
I'm fine with teams responding.
Win with class, too. You know what I'm saying?
No, we don't want to.
Not just lose with class. Win
no,
with
we,
class.
We want to win with disgrace.
That was the wrong Glizzy. I can't
we
stand
wanna,
by that.
Oh, yeah.
In a segment
flags.
That should be about respect and real disrespect.
Yeah.
Earned disrespect. In this case, I think you're giving it to the wrong side, man.
No, man. If you
I think
if,
you got to win with class.
No.
Or somebody else's house.
The Michigan running back
in the
thought,
middle?
The Michigan running back thought he ate when he said, learn how to lose. Man, don't nobody want to learn how to lose? Clown? I don't ever want to have to learn how to do that. I want to do nothing but win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind. I could never get enough. Isn't that what Jeff says every time the Grizzlies win? Win, win, win. I don't want to learn to lose.
I think Jeff opens the show that
I don't
way.
Want to learn how to lose. Michigan done learned how to lose. There's no doubt about that. Let them write the book on how to lose. I'm trying to win every day of my life. And when I do.
You ain't going
to
plant a flag.
I'm planting a flag
home.
On that. I'm coming over to Cordova. I'm planting a flag in that yard. I'm planting a flag in that yard over there. What you going to do?
I wish you would.
I'm coming over there. I won't even have
to get to you.
Is this the old golf course?
You know better
flag.
Than that. You know
flag
better than that.
On that ass.
See, you're not that disrespectful.
Oh, yeah.
And all those teams that did that was you were asking for it. It was
yeah.
the ultimate disrespect to try to do that in the middle of their field.
Well, we'll come back.
It absolutely is.
We'll talk to Jeff, get his thoughts on it, and a whole lot more when we get back. Jason and John, how are you trying to defend ESPN? Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Comments over at the Daily Memphian joins us every Monday on the show. He joins us now. Let's just get it out of the way.
Okay.
Are you pro flag plant or anti flag plant?
Black plant?
No. I don't want to bring race into this. Flag plant.
Oh, flag plant. I'm anti flag plant.
Okay, so you're a soft little hoe.
Exactly. That's what I would describe myself, in fact, as a soft little hoe.
Now,
exactly
are you not right. a are you not a subscriber to if you don't like it, then...
No, I agree with that, too. If you don't like it, stop them from... Beat them. You had all day to beat them. That's true. That's 100% true. 100% true. I still don't think it's necessary at all. There are two ways to stop it. One is for you to actually beat them, and so they won't be planting a flag. But then the second is, you don't have to be graceless in victory. You know, the you don't have to rub your opponent's nose in it. It's just not my thing. Like, there are people out there who whenever, you know, my team loses, who taunt me by texting me and saying, "Bills lose, ha ha ha." It's just not like, it's not how I roll. I don't see why you have to. You just ripped the heart out of Ohio State, may have gotten their coach fired, ruined their season, all of this stuff. Why the hell do you also have to then plant a flag? You know, I just one is just intentionally being disrespectful. Who the hell cares about an O in the middle of a field either? Like, whatever, but evidently people do. So I'm anti crazy ass celebrations. I'm act like you've been there before, guy. That's me. I'm old. You know, I just think it's a totally unnecessary provocation. Right?
Never be ashamed.
Unnecessary provocation.
Never be ashamed of being classy.
Oh, like Biden authorizing long strike missiles?
It's a lot like Biden authorizing long strike missiles. That's a very, that's the analogy I would make. It's very much like Biden authorizing long strike missiles. No, I don't really understand the parallel there.
Well, it's an unnecessary provocation, is what I would say.
So, as one of you, I take it you are pro flag plant.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit from John. I
think it brings some. I think it brings some.
You have no control over your team.
I love it.
No,
I'm like, let's go. Like, let get
win
the flag. Memphis should have planted that ass right there in the middle of that field. Put it right there in the middle for John Sumrall. Say, we'll see you back in the AAC next year, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm anti-flag plan. And then honestly, I thought it was particularly ridiculous that for Michigan, after it already the fight happened, right? They were still trying to plant the flag. They came back for a second round. Get control of your freaking team, man.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous. You're just provoking a fight at that point. Like, why? What's the need? You already beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, it's like doing a handshake line after there's been a fight, essentially. Like, you're right. I mean, you're asking for it, you start that process. And we've even discussed whether the handshake line is appropriate in some instances.
Right. And at least the handshake line isn't a provocation. It would be like going through the handshake line and just flipping the other guy the bird.
This is more provocation.
Line. That's what it is. Like, well, what's the point of that? What's to be gained?
Would you fire Ryan Day at this point? It'd be hard to sell him to the program again next year, right? He can't be Michigan, and seems to be a ceiling on things.
I would.
You have
so.
To, I think.
Yeah. And yes, you would think you have to, right? It's embarrassing at this point. And now Michigan's got Underwood, the quarterback, coming in. You know, so. Yep. What's his buyout? Of course, Ohio State has more money than anyone got. And it's not like Ohio State fans are going to stop coming, right? So you don't have to worry. You don't have to do it in order to guarantee attendance. But I think, and as other people have mentioned, he probably didn't even want to keep doing it. Like, he hates it, right? He literally said this is the worst thing that ever happened to him except for the loss of his father at the age of 9. But he put those things in the same sentence, and that was before this past loss. So it does strike me it's time for a parting of the ways there, just like they did with John Cooper once upon a time.
All right. Listen, we've kind of been having this discussion about Memphis football for weeks now, right? Because it's kind of looked, but how much more complicated does what Memphis did on Thanksgiving make the discussion about Memphis football? Because we saw, like, oh my gosh, like, I saw Dan Wolken tweet, like, Memphis really was the best team in the group of five all year long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it complicated? It complicates it if your point is that, I mean, of course it's complicated, because this is true. The season was disappointing, even though they won a bunch of games, and the tenure has been disappointing. Right. I mean, I was just actually looking at rankings, and you look back, and in 2019, they were ranked, you know, the whole time. In 2017, they were ranked. Like, this time, they are ranked again, and that's good, but they haven't been ranked really under Ryan since the last time they were ranked was when they beat UCF in 2020. Right. Like, basically, so yeah, sure, he's winning games, but he's not getting national results. Like, I understand the criticisms of him, and I share them in some ways. Right. But I also, I just don't think that. It's not complicated in the sense that they're not firing him. There's nothing complicated about it. You know, they're not firing him. He's not considered unsuccessful by the – and he won 10 games two years in a row. So it's complicated in the sense that, sure, it is – I think the season is disappointing, but really is disappointing is the larger context is makes it so disappointing. In other words, if he'd won the conference championship last year, the fact that you stub your toe – you know, Ole Miss is disappointed this year, right? Ole Miss didn't get where they wanted to go. And people aren't saying fire Lane Kiffin, right? So disappointments can happen in an individual season. The challenge with Ryan is that they've never done it. Like, I think if let's say he were to get the North Carolina job, I don't think he necessarily will or whatever, who knows? Let's just hypothetically say he got the UCF job and the North Carolina job. I think there's a very good chance that that whoever came in to replace him would not win 10 games next year, right? I think that's a very good chance. I don't know that Ryan would win 10 games next year. He's got a lot of turnover, right? So, but do I think in the next 5 years, if someone were to replace Ryan, they would at least get to a conference championship game, which Ryan has not done? Yes, 100%. So I think there's a very reasonable chance that whoever were to replace Ryan would do as well or better than Ryan, certainly over the long haul. And I think that's the disappointing part about Ryan is that this year became so important because he had never done it before, right? And so here we are again. But I mean, on my show, I didn't think today was a day to come out and, you know, talk about Ryan's failures. That did just go down and beat the hell out of Tulane. And he recruited that team. You know, that's his team. They weren't gifted to him. He got that team. He assembled that team that won 10 games. It's a good season. It's a disappointing season, even as it's a good season. Both those things can be true.
Yep. In the end, it's, yeah, fourth place in a year you picked first.
Yes, it's disappointing.
There's no question about it.
Can something be – that's what I'm having a hard time squaring. How can something be disappointing but good? Like,
I think Ole Miss's season is disappointing but good.
I would say Ole Miss would they say their season was good? Do you think they would say their season was good? Our Ole Miss fan producer says he is shaking his head. You say it's not a good season.
I think Ole Miss standards, you look at that and it's a good season. They were competitive.
They were top six to start the year though.
If the Bills don't win the Super Bowl, it will be a disappointing season but a good season. If the Bills don't win the Super Bowl, for me, it'll be a disappointing season but a good season. Because when you set your sights that high, you can both have a good season and be disappointed. Yes. Grizzlies have had a lot of those seasons. They've been good, but ultimately disappointing. I think both those things can be true. And I think Ole Miss, yes, it was disappointing because you assembled a team that could have done more. It still was a good season, fun season. Beat the hell out of being Arkansas or Mississippi State or any number of, you know, programs that basically are at Ole Miss's level or should be or have been historically over the last 20 years. And now you have Ole Miss. So I think it's a good season for Ole Miss, even as it's a disappointing season. And I think the same thing's true for Memphis, and I think the same thing likely will be true for my beloved Buffalo Bills in the end. But it doesn't mean that beating Georgia wasn't fun, and it doesn't mean that beating the hell out of San Francisco in the snow wasn't fun.
But, I mean, my only pushback on the Silverfield Lane comparison, because the seasonal comparison I'm kind of with you on can be a disappointment but be good, is that Ole Miss probably has the best coach it can get in Lane Kiffin. Right, and that's why you're more willing to put up with disappointment. Whereas I'm of the belief that Memphis could do better. There's no promise of that, but it's not the you haven't maxed out with your coaches and your two previous coaches.
I agree there is a difference.
Right, there's a difference in terms of
And that Lane elevated the 100%. Program to a place it hadn't been, whereas 100%. Ryan has not. Lyon has actually taken it in the other direction. But in terms of the season itself, I would say seasons can both be good and disappointing. And that's what I think Ole Miss's was. But I agree completely. Lane is hearing none of the same stuff that you hear about Ryan, because you have to ultimately be grateful that Lane elevated the program before he disappointed, right?
Yes. And yes.
Ryan has not done that.
To even have a chance to be disappointed is a feat in and of itself, no doubt about that. Let me ask you this. Alabama currently is minus 150 to make the playoff. They don't control their own destiny, obviously. There's an ACC championship game that has to happen, SMU-Clemson. Is the ACC getting two? Because if the ACC gets two, that obviously means Alabama will not make it. Do you think the ACC gets two in, or is that a one-bid league?
Well, Jeffrey and I kind of disagreed on this. If SMU wins, they're one big league, very clearly.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then there's a slot that could be taken by Alabama. If Clemson wins, I think SMU should get in and will get in. Mm. Now, Jeffrey's like, even then, I'm not sure. Right? I'm not sure. I think SMU in that circumstance would get in.
Still be in.
So then I think that would foreclose Alabama.
Back in.
But if SMU takes care of business, then there is a open slot that I think, honestly, like, it's sort of interesting. Like, I think it'll go to Alabama. I think there Ole Miss has a just as good or better argument, but I don't think it'll get picked.
Well, so that's interesting. So, like, if you're going to bet, right, like Alabama to mm-hmm. make the playoffs minus 150, the better bet would be to bet SMU minus 135 to beat Clemson, in your mind. Because
in my mind, although Jeffrey disagrees, he thinks that they'll have the Alabama push will be too much. Mm-hmm.
It is gonna be hard to keep two 10-2 teams out over a 3-loss SEC team. Like one, okay. But
well, the problem with Alabama is they lost to a stinky Oklahoma team and got destroyed.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's like Ole Miss. For their failures.
Although, again, SMU's resume sucks.
Although,
too.
Ole Miss does have the one stinky home loss, whereas, right, Alabama's are all three on the road. You know, Kentucky at home was nasty.
At least all Ole Miss's losses were, could have won. Like, they were all right there, right? They could have won those games. They didn't get destroyed by anyone, whereas Alabama got destroyed.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah, so SMU has who's SMU's beaten?
They beat nobody. The only ranked team they played this year was BYU. They lost.
Louisville's no longer ranked. Did Louisville's they beat Louisville?
Not. They beat Louisville, but so did Miami.
They beat Louisville.
So
right.
I mean, so
if you give them credit for Louisville and BYU are the two teams you give them credit for.
They right? lost to BYU.
Oh well, yeah, I'm sorry.
So I mean, I think it's probably a one bid league regardless. I mean, SMU is not a better football team, right? Alabama. They're not a better team than Alabama. I mean, you don't think Alabama would be undefeated against that schedule right now?
We'll never know.
I mean, don't duck the smoke, man. You're going to come on here, you're going to try to talk, you're going to try to flap your gums, when you get hit with it, you want to run off. You know, you want to all of a sudden have phone problems. I mean, that's a perfect – he wants to duck and run. He wants to cut and run.
What? Oh, what are you talking about? Are you there?
Yeah, now
we got you.
Now you want to come back. Now you got some liquid. Would you get some liquid courage or something?
I didn't know I was gone.
You were gone, but you don't think...
One of the problems with this whole damn ranking thing is that they seem to just count losses, right? I mean, they often just count losses, it feels like. And yes, it's kind of crazy to me that they count losses. Like Indiana, if Indiana played SEC schedule, do you think they'd have more losses than Alabama? But they're not going to be punished for that. No one's talking about putting Alabama in over Indiana. Indiana beat.
Well, they have one loss. There's a difference. They have one loss. I mean, one loss is different than two.
One is different than two, and two is different than three.
Yeah, but two losses when you play.
Well, Jeffrey's with you. Jeffrey does believe that Alabama will get in over SMU.
Or Clemson. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Or, yeah, certainly. Yeah, the other way around.
Or Miami, right? I mean.
I don't understand. I have seen some people project Miami. I don't understand that at all.
Miami, again, it's the same problem that SMU has if they don't win the conference championship is that they have literally no wins. They have not a single – like Alabama beat Georgia, period, point blank, end of discussion. They beat LSU at LSU. I mean, they beat the dog crap out of them. So, I mean, there's nothing that –
but LSU isn't ranked either.
I understand
why
that, but
counting, why are you counting LSU? Because only because of brand.
Well, because LSU is better. It's better.
You're literally,
than,
just cut. You're just doing brand.
LSU is better than Louisville. I mean, there's no two ways
better
around
by
it.
What better by what standard?
Better by any talent. You know.
No, you're just saying that because LSU is known as a football player.
They beat Missouri 34-0. Okay, they beat South Carolina.
Again, the same. They also had who they lose to? Who else they lose to?
They
X&M.
How many else?
Florida was four. A bad one.
Yeah. Who are we talking about? LSU or
yeah, LSU?
LSU's four LSU. Losses. Four losses.
They lost four else. Four else, baby.
Yeah, but I mean LSU
to a bad
Florida. LSU beat Ole Miss. I mean,
it's just, if
and South
end,
Carolina.
If in the end you give SEC teams extra credit because they play an SEC schedule, then you will always think the SEC team is better.
Well, LSU would be LSU would be exactly where SMU is right now if they were in the ACC.
That's fine, but that's not how it works. Boise's going to get a freaking bye.
Well, Boise.
Boise's going to get a freaking bye.
Has one loss.
Going to get a freaking bye.
They have one loss.
But again, if they played the SEC, how many losses would they have? That's not the standard. Isn't if they played in the SEC.
Okay, but we're talking about Boise. First of all, Boise has to win their conference championship.
Yes.
And if they don't, they're out. Right.
Yeah,
so it's not.
UNLV is in. How would UNLV do in the SEC? Like, why put anyone?
Yeah,
in
but we're stipulating. Okay, but we're stipulating. We're talking about those teams winning conference championship games. If we're talking about if SMU doesn't win its conference championship game, they should not be in. Period. That's the.
Well,
that's
why should Indiana be in over Ole
Miss? Indiana has
Alabama.
One loss.
Why is Indiana in? That's just counting them. How would Indiana do in the SEC?
But that's not what we're talking about precisely.
They have more than one loss. Don't
if they had two losses,
Indiana?
If Indiana had two losses. Which is what I'm giving SMU because they lose the conference championship game. They too would be
out. How many losses by your standard would Indiana have if they played in the SEC?
Probably six.
Okay, then why are we putting them in?
Because they are 11-1. They are 11-1. One loss. That's all it comes down to.
Then what's Army?
Army irrelevant. They're gonna get blasted by Tulane.
If you're just counting W's again, then you gotta give credit to, you know, Army.
We have to go. We'll continue this conversation on Wednesday on your
Thank
show.
You, Jeff.
Bye. Here's Jeff Calkins. He joins us every Monday on the show. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. It's the best season to get engaged, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to get that diamond engagement ring because you get more choices. I'm a man that likes choice. I like a selection to choose from. And RIJ has a big collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds, all shapes, all sizes. You want to custom design that engagement ring, they make it easy and risk-free because they offer something that nobody else does. That's the meant-to-be guarantee, which means you buy that loose diamond and that custom-made engagement ring, you have 365 days to return it, bring it back. That's the only place where they're doing that. Also, the only place to get Daphne Diamonds. RIJ is the best. Go see Howie.
Daphne Diamonds is a one-of-a-kind collection, combination of fashion-forward modern diamond architecture with traditional diamond cutting techniques. Creates a diamond that shines visibly brighter. You can get it going Daphne Diamonds. It's tough enough to say. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, Howie, the only one dealing in them. And as John said, you're going to get the best deal. You've got the guarantee for life in terms of your jewelry spa service. Can always bring it back in, get it tightened, buffed, polished for free ultrasonic cleaning. Free ring sizing for life as well. So it's really a lifetime investment when you shop with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie's been doing this 40-plus years, knows what he's doing, knows how to get you a yes when it comes to popping the question, certainly going to have the right ring. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Online at rijewelers.com, open on Sundays.
We're back. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. Thanks to Jeff Calkins for joining us on the show. Yeah, I'm thinking about betting Alabama -150 to make the playoff. But again, I think the better bet, I don't know. I mean, I if I believe that SMU is out with a loss and in with a win, mm-hmm. and Miami's not in, I should just bet Alabama and just forget the game, right? Because the game doesn't matter at that point. If that's what I think.
Yeah, you think it's a one-bid league.
Right. Exactly.
The ACC.
Yeah, regardless of who wins the championship game. I probably should. I don't know. I might. I bet Alabama last year to make the playoff. The better bet would have been to just bet Florida State not to make it, but it ended up being true. I'll see. I'll sleep on it and pray about it. But good stuff there from Jeff Calkins as always. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Calkins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next. He'll be breaking it all down. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.